"It Is Well With My Soul" is one of my favorite hymns, Maddie. And years ago, when the Anglican Church of North America was inaugurated in one of the very first meetings that was held at Ridgecrest in North Carolina, there was an opening Eucharist where that song, you ever been places where in the middle of a song you're in heaven? And I remember thinking to myself, it is going to be well with the ACNA. It was just one of those special moments. That's such a great hymn. We have a great God that makes the words of that hymn true and real, right? Parable of the sower, very familiar to most followers of Christ. Let me try to go at it from another angle. But I don't want us to take for granted the opening. Two of the main things that are in a part of the opening. And one is that simply that Jesus spoke to them. I want to remind us that that when we see Jesus speaking to people, it's to remind us that how much God values us, wants to be with us, and wants to talk with us. Last week I was driving on Cooper. There had been a tree come down in that last storm with strong winds. It's thought that that tree started sprouting in 1837. So this was a massive red oak tree. But so there was a guy with dogs, and I got out of the car. I wanted to take a picture, and I said good morning to the fellow, and he literally didn't speak to me. And I said good morning again, and he just walked on by. And hey, who knows what was going on in his life, right? Let's acknowledge that. But it just was one of those moments where you just to be spoken to is to be acknowledged. It's to be addressed. It's to be recognized. It's a form of love to be spoken to. And as we open this conversation about the parable, I just want to remind us that that God so values us and loves us, he wants to speak to us. If you were to go back to the opening story in the book of Genesis, where it talks about our human parents, Adam and Eve, in that garden, and that wonderful phrase, and God walked with them in the cool of the evening. You know, what's implicit there is God walked with them and had conversation with them. He loved them and wanted to be connected, and speaking to one another and conversing with one another is one of the ways we connect. Don't underestimate the fact that God sends Jesus into the world to talk to us face to face. And he taught them one of the most simple truths. I would summarize like this. He taught them that God was everywhere, that God was outside and beyond the walls of the temple and the synagogue where they expected God to be. But God was everywhere. And he taught them that wherever they were, God was there too. That God came to them where they were. And so that's why we see Jesus in the marketplace, in the workplace, at the lake, on the hillside, even in their homes. That as he was with them and talking with them, he was demonstrating the kind of God that we've come to know. And then he asked another thing. Not only does Jesus talk to them, and that communicates this deep, deep value of love and longing for connection and conversation, but it says Jesus asks them to listen. Now, my mother had two phrases that she repeatedly used when I was growing up, and they went like this. I'm not talking to you to hear myself talk. That was rebuke number one. And the second one was, I'm not talking to you for my health's sake. And I was pretty sure that it wasn't going to be for my health when she got done. But when Jesus asked them to listen, anyone who has ears, listen. He's asking people to hear not only the mechanics and physics of the audio dynamics of hearing, right? But he's asking them to hear spiritually. Would you learn to listen spiritually? And this morning, I want to describe that as deep listening. That there's listening on this simple mechanical level where you could repeat back the words that are spoken to you. And then there's a deeper listening. And a deeper listening for spiritual things, I want to say, has two parts to it. Very simple, not rocket science, but a challenge spiritually. To listen deeply to God is A, willing to practice a kind of humility that says, I have something to learn. The most basic posture of listening up to God is to be in a place where you say, I've got something to learn from God. Now, we all know nobody likes know-it-alls. And probably that's not a problem with most people in the room. But what about know-enoughs? I know enough. And one of the most challenging things for followers of Christ is we hear these parables, we hear these stories, and they're so familiar, and unconsciously we may be saying in our soul, I know enough. But to listen deeply at a spiritual level is to always be in this posture of, I've got something to learn. Make it new, make it fresh, teach me, Lord. And the second thing would be to not only listen with humility, is to listen with the intention that I'm willing to do something in response. So God is always, when Jesus says, listen up, listen with your ears, listen deeply, he's saying, will you be in the place where you can say honestly, I know, God, that I've got something to learn, and I'm willing to do something in response to what you say. I will act on what you say. So then we have Jesus speaking this parable, this very familiar parable. I've said before, and I still think it is very true, I think this is the foundational parable of all parables. I think this is the frame that goes around all parables. This parable about the sower who sows seeds into the ground, which is a metaphor for God who speaks his word into our lives. I think it's foundational. And that's why I think Jesus repeatedly here says, listen up. I think that's why he gives a very clear explanation of what this parable is about and how it works. And so we have Jesus here who I think is saying, I love you enough to speak to you. As a matter of fact, if you were to think of what's one of the most endearing images of who Jesus is in the life of God's people, would it not be the Good Shepherd? Do we not teach our children, Jesus is the Good Shepherd? And at the core of what Jesus himself said about being the Good Shepherd, he said, my sheep know my voice. And so the most dearest picture of Jesus as Good Shepherd is really about being the kind of people, like sheep, who hear the voice. So Jesus is loving on this crowd of people. When was the last time you stood at the beach to hear a sermon? Yeah, that's quite a picture, right? The crowd standing on the beach. And, we won't go there. I just have lots of images in my mind. And so Jesus is preaching. I think I want to give you three things, three postures, three themes, three lessons that are here in this that gather up the whole parable. One is, Jesus speaks to the listener with respect. Jesus invites responsibility from the listener. And Jesus provides a resource for the listener. Well, respect is what really I opened with. That Jesus, when Jesus comes to speak into your life, he comes with a divine respect for who you are as a person of worth and of value and of dignity. When Jesus speaks to us, he speaks face to face, eye to eye, heart to heart. Out of the deepest posture of loving us and valuing us and counting us worthy. And more than just worthy, counting us as those for whom God created in order to have these holy conversations. One of the things I remember in years as parenting is reading a book by Ross Campbell, How to Parent Your Teenager. And one of the chapters, he invites parents to review the things that they say to their children, their teenagers. And one of the points, simple points he makes in that chapter is he says, too many parents default to the place where the overwhelming majority of the words spoken by them to their teenager are words of direction and correction. Do this, don't do that. All of that. And learning to speak words of affection and connection and respect. And I think too often that we have an image of God, that when God speaks, what he wants to do is always correct, always direct, always boss around and dominate. It's what God does, right? And to get to the place where we could experience God as Abba, the Abba who comes to love and impart wisdom and lead the way. So Jesus respects us when he comes to speak to us. The second thing I want to emphasize is he comes to invite us to be responsible, to responsibility, out of the relationship of respect and connection, where he connects with us heart to heart and pours himself into us, and we find our lives in him. He invites us to responsibility. And by that, what I think is intended to mean is that he says to us, you are a person of great capacity and great potential. You are a person of great talent and great gifts. Recent conversation with Samuel Hood, and he brought to light, he said, you know, there's a false teaching in the church, a false kind of humility that says, God doesn't really need us. He could do everything by himself. He just kind of like allows us to do stuff. And with Samuel, I think that is a false teaching. Because the entire arc of the story, the entire ministry of Jesus is that God is always inviting us to be partners, to actually cooperate, to discover that the words that we speak and the things that we do, actually God makes impactful in his world. And so it's not that like God is doing the real stuff all around us, but this God has come to invite us. Jesus said to his followers on that last evening, you will do greater things than I do. That this heart of God, this passion in Jesus is to see his followers, his people actually become agents of creativity and redemption in the grace and power of his Spirit. And to discover that part of our value and worth and dignity is in that we get to participate and really partner with him. It's an amazing gift to be invited as someone who is respected by God, loved by God, and God wants us to participate in the actual doing of his loving work in this world. The call to responsibility, the ability to respond. Well, let me highlight what the opposite of that looks like as a way of giving us a picture of what responsibility might look like in this world. The opposite of responsibility is irresponsibility. Michael Bublé's song, Call Me Mr. Irresponsible, I hear that as, oh, a season in my life where I don't have to do stuff. I kind of think of it as the theme of my retirement. Call me Mr. Irresponsible. But that's all joking aside. To be irresponsible is to live life in these three ways. One, it's always reacting, not responding. And so instead of being in the posture where you can deeply listen to others and deeply pay attention to the circumstances of your life, you're just reacting out of your stuff. You're just being triggered and reacting, and there's really no thought, there's really no heart. That's a bad way to live. But maybe worse than reacting is avoiding or hiding. Some people try to cloak this with the word procrastination. Sometimes I think procrastination is just truly trying to avoid the real responsible issues of life. Avoiding, not wanting to engage, not wanting to put your hand to the task, not wanting to connect. And then I've created a third word, a word. Not only is there reacting and avoiding, the word selfing. S-E-L-F-I-N-G, selfing. To be totally narrowly focused on your own self-interest, your own self-pleasure, your own me and mine, is a kind of irresponsibility. Because the invitation from Jesus, when we allow him to be present in our lives and to teach us how to walk in the power of the Spirit, when we really begin to reflect who God is because we're walking in the Spirit as daughters and sons of God, then we're people who learn to respond. We're people who learn to give the respect and the deep listening to others. We're people who don't avoid. We're people who are willing to engage. We're people who find in the Spirit a courage and a faith to step into the places that have been hard for us and challenging for us. But we believe that God is such a God of redemption. We know that if we, instead of avoiding, if we engage, if we connect, if we give ourselves, that God will be faithful and we'll find a work of redemption. And then to really learn to begin to spend our time and our energy for the sake of others. Not just selfing, but being responsible to the neighbors that God places in our lives. The last R word I would give you is resource. You see, God never invites, calls, summons, taps us on the shoulder to listen and then to do something without resourcing us to do it. Never. Never are we on our own without the resources of God. In this parable, the good seed is really the word of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's the truth of God. Which I believe there is nothing that reorients us more to reality, the world as it is created by God, than God's wisdom and God's truth. G.K. Chesterton said this, "It isn't that people can't see the solution, it is that they can't see the problem." So what I want to take that quote and say, one of the things Jesus is doing in the parable of the sower is he's highlighting the solution of the great harvest in our lives, but he wants us to see some of the pitfalls and problems of the spiritual journey. And so he gives us a picture of the spiritual journey, what it's like. He sort of opens our eyes to a greater reality. He says, "I want you to know and not be naive that there's an evil one. There is a force, a personal force and power in this world that seeks to undo your walk with God, to make you deaf to his words. And if you ever actually begin to hear a word, what he will want to do is so distract you that he can snatch it away." He says, that's a problem. You need to pay attention. He names the second challenge on the spiritual journey. He says, there's a way in which you can find yourself in a moment listening, and you seem to hear, and you just have great enthusiasm. But he says, beware, because enthusiasm is not the same thing as devotion. Enthusiasm is not the same thing as sinking down roots. And he says, so there are many people who are going to walk along and they'll hear something and they'll just look like they're all in. But really, their roots are all still out. And as soon as hardship comes, they fall away because there are no roots. And then he says, there's this category of folks, you might be in this category. He says, there are folks who hear and they come to, they have a level of understanding and they begin to sink down some roots. And that's all really good. And then he says, but what they're not paying attention to is the things in their lives that want to weight them down or crush them, like the cares of the world. We all know the cares of the world, right? You don't need a preacher to enumerate the cares of the world. And he says they can come and they choke. But he says it's not only the cares of the world, but there's this deceitfulness of resources or wealth. And he says it's if you learn to put your security, your status, if you learn to trust there, if you think you're okay because of that level of resource wealth in your life, he says, it's going to choke. And he says, I'll tell you what happens when you get choked. you find yourself in a place where there's no fruitfulness. And I'd interpret that this way. You find yourself in a place where you hear the words of Jesus and you see the vision he's casting of life with him, but your life isn't measuring up. There's just nothing coming forth. There's this big gap. Or he says, you're just not able to give yourself away to others the way you'd long to. And he says, the reason those things happen is because the life that I'm pouring into you, you're allowing it to be choked. And so I love it that Jesus resources us with wisdom about how to sort of stop and evaluate where we are on the spiritual journey. How is the good seed, the word of God, doing in my life? And are any of these sort of pictures, scenarios, do I see myself there? And then he comes to the good soil, right? And the good soil. And the good soil is like explosive. It's like when the good soil listens and understands. And I'm not a farmer. You know, every 3 years we have a tomato plant. I mean, you know, so we're about that, you know. So I don't really know serious farmers. But the commentators say this. Any real farmer would give their right arm for a 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold return. He says, you got to pay attention. What Jesus is saying here is anyone who simply begins to listen deeply with a humility of openness, like, teach me, Lord, I'm teachable, and I'll respond. I'll put my foot forward to whatever you're saying. I'm that kind of person. Jesus says, anybody who gets to that place and actually receives and welcomes and hears the word, he says, there's something supernaturally explosive that happens. There's this abundance, there's this overflow. Or simply, and what I mean by that is not something heroic. How about something simply good? Genuinely good. And genuinely great because it reflects something of the life of God. No need to dream heroic dreams. If God wants to do something heroic with you, you'll know it. But day to day, in our lives, with our friends, with our family, in our marriages, parenting, in our work, God is simply longing to release good, the greatness of the good in people's lives. Jesus said, you know, when people see the good in you, as I bring it forth, then they'll glorify the Father. That's what he's longing to do. So those are some of the things, the wisdom that Jesus has for us. He wants to talk to us out of a deep love, affection, and respect. He longs for us to be listeners. And in listening, he longs to pour into resources and give us wisdom. One final note about this parable. Do you ever read this parable or hear it and you go, man, I hope I'm the good soil. Man, that's like sounds like there are the bad soil people and the good soil people, you know? It's like, I hope I'm the good soil. Or if you're in the top three categories, if Satan is snatching things, you know, trouble is crushing you and weighing you down, or things are choking your life, you're going, I must be the bad dirt. Come on, honestly, you've been there. I must be the bad disciple. Listen, let me blow that paradigm up. This parable is not about bad dirt, good dirt. Bad soil, good soil. The only thing that makes the soil good is that it has received the good word. Amen? Some of you might need to write this on your mirror. It's the good word of Jesus that makes my life the good soil. Right? All of us are bad dirt. All of us have days where we know enough. Thank you, Lord. All of us have bad days of, I know you love me. Great, thanks. We'll talk tomorrow. All of us are okay with, okay, I got a little distracted. I let the enemy snatch that out of my life. Well, you'd be crushed too if you were going what I was going through. Or, you know, sometimes you just get choked. And all Jesus is saying, listen, you do understand the kind of sower he is. There's this patch of dirt, and he's committed to throwing as much seed as often as he needs to until we welcome it. He is the most generous, extravagant sower known. He scatters and scatters again and scatters again and scatters again. And he's just right there with all his resources, all his wisdom, his word, the truth that can set us free. And his word can do things that we could never imagine. His word truly is capable moving you from zero to 30 to 60 to 100 to accomplish in our lives what we cannot do on our own. And all he's looking for is a soul that says, here I am, Lord, I'm listening. And do you notice that it never says they listen and they understand? It never says even of the good soil person that they fully understood. You don't even have to fully understand it. You just have to say, Lord, here I am. And I know I don't know enough, and I want to know more. And whatever I need to know now, that's what I want. And Lord, I if you say do something, I'm willing to take a step. But Lord, I don't even get it. But I'm here. I'm ready. I'm available. I'm willing. Isn't one of the things we learned of the testimonies that came out of the awakening this year in Wilmore? Is that God showed up and there were a handful of people who said, we're ready and willing. Not that we're all together, we fully understand. We're the good dirt. Well, that's the gospel. Whatever the state of your soul, healthy, unhealthy, fertile, not fertile, hard, soft. It's about the goodness of the word spoken by the sower who is good. May God awaken us to hear his word with humble and ready souls. Amen.